How crazy has this week been in the world of cryptocurrencies?
Oh, dear God. raise a glass to all of the crypto reporters who haven't slept in a week. Like, the speed of it, I think, has surprised everyone. I mean, things move fast in crypto, but, you know, the speed and the depths of the potential ripples are really, like honestly, I think everyone's been surprised by it. So, yeah, it's been a lot.
That's our colleague Caitlin Ostroff, who covers cryptocurrency. The reason it's been a crazy week is because one of the biggest names in crypto, a company called FTX, is imploding.
FTX on the brink of collapse, apparently, according to the latest headlines.
Is this the Lehman moment for crypto? That's the question some in the industry are now asking, as leading cryptocurrency exchange FTX faces bankruptcy.
FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried apologizing for the chaos that's happening in the crypto industry right now.
No one thought that it was going to fail. It was a fairly big player in the ecosystem. So at minimum, it's going to severely damage the cryptocurrency industry for a while, and we don't know where the tentacles stretch to and where some of the fallout might be.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knudsen. It's Thursday, November 10th. Coming up on the show, the surprising and sudden crisis at one of the biggest names in crypto.
This episode is brought to you by Canva. When your work looks good, you look good. So create all the stunning presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos you need with Canva. Start with one of the designer-made templates or jump ahead with the power of AI. It's a real time saver, and anybody can use it. Whatever department you work in, whatever you need, Canva will help you get it done and make it look fantastic. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Tap the banner to learn more.
The current drama in the crypto world actually involves two companies, FTX and Binance. Both are cryptocurrency exchanges, meaning they're basically a middleman where people can buy and sell crypto. We'll start the story with FTX, which was founded in 2019.
And it's gotten a very strong reputation. Really, over the last 2 years, it's accelerated sharply. And with that, you know, they've gotten a lot more client funds. They had all of this advertising on stadiums and all of these other things. And they really grew quite quickly.
FTX spent heavily on advertising the past few years. The company bought naming rights to the Miami Heat basketball arena, and it's had commercials featuring celebrities and sports stars, like quarterback Tom Brady.
FTX is the safest and easiest way to buy and sell crypto.
Shaquille O'Neal and Steph Curry.
This is Steph Curry, the world's leading expert on cryptocurrency.
I'm not. I'm not an expert, and I don't need to be. With FTX, I have everything I need to buy, sell, and trade crypto safely.
The company even bought an ad during the Super Bowl, where the comedian Larry David poses as a dummy who's always wrong about the future.
Like I was saying, it's FTX. It's a safe and easy way to get into crypto.
Yeah, I don't think so. And I'm never wrong about this stuff. Never.
You know, they were really throwing money around at kind of getting their name out there. And from people I've spoken with at FTX, like, you know, they really were putting an emphasis on kind of these partnerships and these ways that they could become more visible because, you know, they had these ambitions to be this great crypto trading exchange, but they weren't quite a household name.
FTX became one of the biggest cryptocurrency exchanges in the world. And along the way, the company's founder, Sam Bankman-Fried, also became semi-famous. Bankman-Fried is known for his bushy brown hair and casual clothes, and for his lobbying on Capitol Hill.
So Sam Bankman-Fried, he gained a large following on social media and just generally within Washington. You would send emails to, like, the press team at FTX, and Sam Bankman-Fried himself would email you back. He was very approachable, very easily accessed, and spent a lot of time in Washington advocating for crypto and regulation of crypto. And donated heavily to Republicans and Democrats in the last couple of election cycles. And so Sam Bankman-Fried for that has really become, you know, even more known.
A lot of people in crypto are skeptical of regulators, but Bankman-Fried was pushing for the government to get more involved, which got attention in the crypto world.
Sam parading around as the face of crypto in Washington, it certainly rankled other people. And I think some of the trust that the regulators had within him did bother other people broadly in crypto, where, you know, he's presenting himself as the JP Morgan of crypto at the moment, but, you know, like, we don't necessarily agree with all of the policies that he's advocating. And so I think a lot of people felt at the end of the day that maybe Sam was promoting things that would be beneficial for his own company or things that he thought would make good regulation without necessarily having buy-in from other crypto companies.
Caitlin's sources told her that one of the people who appeared to take issue with Bankman-Fried's lobbying was a man named Changpeng Zhao.
Changpeng Zhao is the founder of Binance. Binance is the largest cryptocurrency exchange by volume.
Binance had actually been an early investor in FTX. But over time, the two companies and their founders started acting more like rivals.
There were little bits of tension that did spill out onto Twitter, and the regulatory angle of that did wind up coming out in some of Sam's tweets. So there was a tweet a couple of weeks ago from Sam in which he made a jab at Changpeng Zhao of saying, you know, is he even allowed in Washington, D.C.? And we've reported in the past that there are probes into Binance's activities by the Securities and Exchange Commission and the Department of Justice. This seems to have been a jab at, you know, either Changpeng Zhao's not being a regular face within Washington or regulatory investigations into their activities.
While the two companies and their founders sparred occasionally on Twitter, they found an equilibrium as two of the largest crypto exchanges in the world. But at the start of this year, the crypto markets started to get shaky.
People were thinking about inflation and kind of broader markets started to turn a bit on those concerns. And things really accelerated this year with the crash of Terra Luna in the cryptocurrency that's supposed to be pegged to a dollar. That wound up breaking its peg. The other cryptocurrency crashed as well.
The sudden collapse of Terra sent shockwaves through the crypto industry. Holders of UST and Luna lost a total of $42 billion.
There's still a lot of questions about how stable stablecoins will really be.
The collapse of the Terra USD stablecoin earlier this week triggered a flight from many popular digital tokens.
And so that propelled a chain reaction that really knocked Bitcoin down quite a bit, along with other cryptocurrencies. And so the backdrop going into this was already one of a so-called crypto winter, basically the idea that, you know, everything's chilled, nothing's going to be rising for a while.
As other crypto companies were collapsing, Bankman-Fried often stepped in to buy them out. And he started getting lauded as the savior of crypto. But that savior title was going to be short-lived. That's after the break. The fall of FTX happened very quickly.
So last week, you had an article from CoinDesk, which is a kind of crypto online news publication. And that article basically said that Alameda Research, the trading firm that FTX was born out of, had...
The details of the article are a little complicated. But essentially, it indicated that FTX was dependent on another company founded by Bankman-Fried called Alameda. And Alameda had a lot of its value tied up in FTX's cryptocurrency.
So basically, they had a bunch of, like, FTX's own currency on their balance sheet, like, a lot of it.
The article's takeaway was that this situation potentially put both companies at risk. The Wall Street Journal has since confirmed this.
And what that started doing was... people started to wonder how much of both were dependent on the other and how much of it was dependent on this cryptocurrency that FTX, the exchange, had created.
And so the concern was that because this other company, Alameda, owned so much of this FTX cryptocurrency, that it sort of made the two companies codependent in a way that might hurt them if the value started to drop.
Yeah, exactly. And then on top of that, if it was all built on this cryptocurrency that was issued by one of the companies, that if you lose faith in the company, you lose faith in the crypto and vice versa. And so the fear was that it was a lot of hot air.
After that CoinDesk report came out, things were quiet for a few days. But on Sunday, there was a bombshell from the CEO of Binance. He tweeted that his company was going to sell $580 million worth of FTX's cryptocurrency token. Zhao said that Binance would liquidate its holdings for risk management purposes, but also because he wouldn't, quote, support people who lobby against other industry players behind their backs.
Changpeng Zhao has millions of followers on Twitter. He is extremely revered in the crypto industry. And for him to come out publicly and say, we are going to sell this massive chunk of this relatively little traded token, incited mass panic. And from there, people started betting against FTX's token, which drove the price even lower. And from there, the price, the value of that token started to buckle.
It sounds like a house of cards.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I think Gary Gensler yesterday compared it to a Jenga tower, actually.
The head of the SEC.
Yeah, the head of the SEC. And, like, it basically was a house of cards. You take out, you know, one thing from the bottom, and suddenly the entire thing comes down.
People started trying to pull their money out of FTX. Last Sunday, the company processed $4 billion worth of withdrawals. And by Monday, that number had ballooned to $6 billion.
Originally, Sam came out on the defense. He said that funds were protected and basically trying to make the case that there was no financial issues and that everything was fine and everything would be processed and, you know, things weren't that bad.
But it quickly became clear that wasn't the case. The value of FTX's cryptocurrency was tanking. Money was drying up. And it wasn't clear that FTX would be able to honor those $6 billion of requests from investors to pull their money out. This was having a ripple effect as the value of Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies started to nosedive. And then something surprising happened. Binance said it was planning to buy FTX.
Which is almost ironic because that, up until a few weeks ago, was FTX's role. But now the tables had turned and FTX needed the bailout. It surprised a lot of people because I think it spoke to the degree of a liquidity crunch that FTX was experiencing. But it also gave a little bit of calm to the storm in that people went, okay, like, Binance is massive. If there were any concerns over customer deposits, you know, probably, like, this will be a backstop.
Zhao, the head of Binance, tweeted that FTX had come to them and asked for help, and that Binance had agreed, though the company said it would make sure to do its due diligence first. This acquisition would mean that two of the largest crypto exchanges would join together, stabilizing not only FTX, but potentially keeping the broader crypto market calm as well.
So we have this solid 24 hours in which we're all working off the assumption that Binance is likely going to acquire FTX. And then 24 hours later, the journal hears from our sources that that's not going to happen.
Wall Street Journal reporting that Binance is walking away officially from that FTX deal.
FTX was hoping that Binance could rescue it from the crisis.
That there are very serious concerns about the state of FTX's finances, that it's in much worse shape than Binance initially thought it would be, and that there is a potentially up to $8 billion hole to plug. And so we learn that the deal has completely fallen apart.
So you're saying that Binance is now completely out of this deal?
Yeah, that Binance is no longer going to acquire FTX. And again, this was always a tentative agreement based on due diligence or dependent on due diligence. But, you know, we learned rather quickly that it's just flat out not going to happen anymore.
In a statement, Binance said, quote, Our hope was to be able to support FTX's customers to provide liquidity, but the issues are beyond our control or ability to help. Bankman-Fried told FTX employees earlier today that the company's looking to raise funds so it can do right by customers and investors. What is going to happen to the people who had their money tied up in FTX?
As we are fond of saying in London, they will likely wait in the queue.
Back at the line, in other words.
Yes, back at the line. And so what we're likely to see is, you know, these are going to be bankruptcy proceedings. I mean, take Mt. Gox, which was a Japanese cryptocurrency exchange that got hacked in 2014. Those creditors haven't even been paid out yet. Like, that was almost a decade ago. It's unclear how long it will actually take for customers to get money back, how much money they'll get back, in what currency or cryptocurrency they'll get it back. The world of crypto insolvencies is one that I think we've gotten a crash course in this year. But
emphasis on crash.
Yes, emphasis on crash. No pun originally intended.
In a series of tweets, Bankman-Fried apologized and took responsibility for the company's troubles. And then he added, quote, "At some point, I might have more to say about a particular sparring partner, so to speak. But, you know, glass houses. So for now, all I'll say is, well played, you won." End quote. What is this all going to mean for Sam Bankman-Fried, who had developed this reputation as, like, the face of crypto?
A lot of investigations at a minimum. I mean, we know the Securities and Exchange Commission is kind of turbocharging some of the probes it already had and expanding them. And so I think there's a lot to come. There's just a lot that's not quite clear yet in terms of what the repercussions on the legal side will be. At a minimum, I think it's safe to say that confidence in FTX is pretty much shattered. Like, there's no trust back in here.
What do you think this is going to mean for the future of crypto?
I don't think anyone is quite calling for the demise of crypto entirely yet, but certainly this is going to be a massive hit to confidence and people's desire to buy anything. If just really over the course of a week, one of the most reputable, most politically influential crypto exchanges went from standing on a hill to being potentially bankrupt. And it's really hard to see how the industry regains trust after this. It's really hard to see after this how Congress doesn't regulate, how regulators globally don't really ramp up enforcement.
Mm-hmm. Because one of the things that's so amazing about this is just how fast it happened. I mean, just a couple weeks ago, FTX was considered one of the strong giants.
Yeah, it's the speed of it, I think, has surprised everyone. I mean, things move fast in crypto. I've filed more than my fair share of stories about, you know, 10 or 20% crashes on a Saturday. But usually you're talking about instability of an asset, not a core part of the ecosystem. And so the speed and the depths of the potential ripples are really, like honestly, I think everyone's been surprised by it.
That's all for today, Thursday, November 10th. Additional reporting in this episode by Vicky Huang, Alexander Osipovich, and Patricia Kausman. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. Your hosts are Kate Linebaugh and me, Ryan Knudsen. The show is produced by Melvis Acosta Crisostomo, Annie Baxter, Catherine Brewer, Pia Gadkari, Rachel Humphreys, Brendan Klinkenberg, Matt Kwong, Annie Minoff, Laura Morris, Afif Nisuli, Enrique Perez de la Rosa, Sarah Platt, Aaron Randall, Alan Rodriguez Espinosa, Vladislav Sadiq, Pierre Singhi, Jivika Verma, Lisa Wang, and Catherine Whalen, with help this week from Jonathan Sanders. Our engineers are Griffin Tanner, Nathan Singapak, and Peter Leonard. Our theme music is by So Wiley. Additional music this week from Catherine Anderson, Peter Leonard, Bobby Lord, Emma Munger, and Blue Dot Sessions. Fact-checking by Nicole Pasolka. Thanks for listening. We're off tomorrow for Veterans Day. See you Monday.